Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with Strahan.
Hey, it's Odie Strahan, and I'm having one of the most amazing days of my life. Hopefully you are too. Let's get this show started. What's going on? What's going on? Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with Strahan. Guys, we are in for a treat. Really fired up about today's guest. Today's guest is a star guard from Woodland Christian who led the area in scoring and was 12th in the state of California at 29.6 a game. He also averaged 5.3 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals. Let me slow down so you guys catch up to that. 55% field goal shooting from the field, 40% from three-point line, and 77% from the free throw line. So not only did he score at a high clip, he also shot with great efficiency. Only a sophomore while leading his team deep into the playoffs with a 22-7 overall record. Romello Bruin, welcome to the show.
Yeah, no, I'm here. Thank you. Appreciate it.
How you doing today, man?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing phenomenal. Really excited to have you on, man. I know, you know, your story has created a buzz, but first and foremost, I want to congratulate you on a very successful season. I like I said, I'd mentioned the NBA 2K numbers that with your stats there, but obviously not just individually, but also leading your Woodland Christian team deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, no, yeah, those numbers. Now, for you just saying that sounds crazy.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on all the success, man.
Yeah, thank you.
You got it. Well, typically I wanted to get a little backstory on you, but I want to get right into it when it comes to some current events. I know the last couple of weeks you created some buzz with the season when it comes to, unfortunately, an incident that happened, I believe, in practice that resulted in you, like I said, you could correct me if I'm wrong on some of this, is that you had two of your teeth pushed back, a fractured tooth, a tooth knocked out. I mean, such a bad injury where it actually could have possibly jeopardized the rest of your season. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, no, I practiced, like everything you said is true. You know, the tooth I got knocked out went through my lip and stuff. The teeth got pushed back. So going to the hospital, you know, them saying that my season was likely going to end, you know, I was heartbreaking to hear. So
can you, I mean, like I said, that it sounded excruciating me even trying to describe that, but can you talk about exactly what happened on that, you know, on that incident?
Yeah, no. So I practiced, we're doing a drill cause it was a senior practice and they chose a drill where you get to throw the ball up and stuff. The coach throws the balls up and we're on our backs and we got to go get the ball and play one-on-one. And me and my teammate went to go get the ball. He got the ball, obviously. I didn't. I started playing defense, and his back was turned to my face. So when he turned around, he turned around with his elbow in the air and got connected right to my teeth. So where I hit my teeth, the two teeth, like I said, got pushed back, and the one got knocked out. It went through my lip and stuff. So,
my goodness, I saw the visuals on a video, man, and it, man, that's not for the ones with weak stomachs, that's for sure. Talk to me. I know you had to have an emergency, you know, surgery or procedure. Talk to me about all that.
Yeah, no, right when it happened, you know, I called my dad and stuff. I told him that I got my teeth pushed back. I said my teeth knocked out. So right when I got picked up, we went to my local hospital in Woodland. The tooth that got knocked out and went through my lip, they pushed it back into my gums, hoping that it recovers and it goes back to where it was. And the two teeth that I pushed back, I had to stay overnight in the hospital. I got transferred to another hospital out in Sacramento for a UC Davis one. And I stayed overnight, like I said. And the next morning around like 1 or 2, they had this tool where they had to push my teeth back. And then they had like this like sticky glue where they put on my teeth and put a metal bar and stuff. And then I had a retainers before this whole incident. So they got my retainer and they kind of like fixed it and stuff for my teeth so I can put it on and keep it straight.
What type of, my goodness, what type of pain were you in during this whole process? Or I mean, I'm hoping at least they were able to numb you up, but what type of pain, I guess, on a 1 to 10, where were you at on a pain level throughout this whole process?
Honestly, like when it got knocked out, my teeth knocked out and stuff and pushed back, it didn't even hurt because I was such in shock. Like, I was just so confused what was going on. So when that happened, I wasn't even, like, in pain. The only thing that really hurt the most, like, one, like for sure, 6 out of 10, is the needles I had to get. The needles were, like, bigger than my middle finger. Like, they were huge. And they had to put it into my gums and stuff to numb me up or put, anything in me. So those were sure like were the like the only thing that really hurt. But otherwise, like getting the surgery, putting the tooth back, it didn't hurt that bad.
And then what, talk to me about the mindset. What was going through your mind? Obviously such a traumatic, you know, incident right before the playoffs. You know, what were you thinking? I mean, I would assume you're thinking about, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'll be thinking about my teeth. Like, am I going to get my, keep my teeth, or how am I going to get these, you know, replaced? Or was basketball still on the forefront of your mind, being that you knew the playoffs were around the corner?
Yeah, no, right when it happened, I was like really confused what was going on. And then I went to the bathroom and I saw obviously my teeth and like a blood. So the first thing that popped up was, it's going to sound funny, but like, damn, I'm about to get some fake teeth. Like that was my first reaction when I saw my teeth. Cause I mean, I was just such a shock that my teeth were in the back of my mouth. I was like, man, like I'm about to get some fake teeth. There's no way that I'm going to recover from this. And then going to the hospital, driving to the hospital in the ambulance, I was like, dang, my season's over. Like, there's no way. Like, there's no way I'm going to come back from this. Like, there's literally no way. Going to the hospital, they were literally telling me that. So after that, you know, like I said, I was heartbroken about it, you know, sad. But I was just praying and praying, thanks to God, that I'm better now and I could play. So it's all thanks to him.
That's amazing, man. That's amazing. And so, and then, you know, at what point did you, you know, figure it out that you were able that, you know, that you were able to get everything done, or at least doctors approved for you to come back and actually, you know, play in your playoff and, you know, and still continue your season?
Yeah, no, right after the surgery, I think a couple hours later, my dad asked the nurses if I was able to play or not. And they said it's possible I could play, but if the same thing happened or just like even getting a tooth knocked out again, like that would just be like horrible. So they said they wouldn't risk it. But me personally, I'm not going to sit out for a playoff game. Like I'm going to go play in that playoff game, like if you like it or not, you know what I mean? So that was kind of my mindset after I heard that. Like if I got the chance to play, then I'm going to take that chance.
So technically they didn't approve you to play, or do they just kind of leave it open?
They kind of just leave it open out there. Like they just really suggested I wouldn't play, because if it happened again, like it would just be really bad.
Okay. And then, man, it sounds bad. And then talk to me about this mask. I know, you know, it reminded me of the Jason mask, you know, but talk to me about this mask that you had to wear, obviously, to make sure that, you know, all your injuries was protected, you know, so you could play. I know it's a very unique situation that you had there.
Yeah, no. So when we did get cleared and stuff, we're trying to find a mask and everything, and we couldn't find one because all the masks that we did buy or did find, it wasn't rule regulation. Like it would either be sticking out too much or it wouldn't fit my full face. So my dad went to a store in West Sac, at a Halloween store, and bought a Jason mask, like he said, because it looked like Jason. And he just modified it. He bought this padding and stuff. He bought a chin strap. He bought like a back strap to put in my face and stuff, or put in the back of my head so I can like stay in my face and stuff. And then he put a little more holes and stuff so I can breathe. And then he just sanded it down so it would just look like my skin tone. And that's how I got my mask.
Absolutely amazing, man. That adds even more epic to the story. So you got the self-made Jason mask, custom made with Pops, making sure that you could play in order for you to get on the court.
Yeah, no, he really tried his hardest to make sure that fit my face and stuff, and that I can be protected as I can. And it really did help a lot. Like I got smacked a lot in the playoffs in the face, and I really did not feel it. So I give props to him. Like that mask really helped.
Gotcha, man. Gotcha.
Quick break here. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we'll get right back to it. I would like to take a moment to introduce Angie Verduzco with eXp Realty, your go-to realtor for unparalleled expertise. With a track record of guiding investors to lucrative properties and making dream homes a reality for house hunters, Angie brings a wealth of experience to the table. Fluent in both English and Spanish, she ensures seamless communication. Explore the Yuba, Sutter, and Sacramento markets with confidence. Follow Angie on Instagram at Angie Verduzco Realtor. Again, that's Angie Verduzco Realtor for a glimpse into your future home journey.
Talk to me about your mindset that you had at that point when it comes to playing, you know, despite, you know, such a bad injury and having to wear such a, you know, a heavily protective mask that was literally homemade for you, you know, by you guys.
Honestly, when I went to the game, I was kind of nervous because, you know, I was sitting in a hospital bed and sitting at home, and I was on a diet. I couldn't eat any. I had to eat only soup. So I was like kind of nervous and scared if I was going to be like out of shape and stuff, and I couldn't make any shots. But that game, I did really good. You know, I think I had 36. I had a couple of 3-pointers. It was a really good game for me. So once that happened, my confidence just went through the roof going into the next game.
Let's talk about that game against Leroy Green. Now, did you you had mentioned, you know, hitting some threes and what have you, but did you have to change your game being that not one only because of the injury and being cognizant of you, you know, being injured, you don't want to take any extra, you know, physical contact if you don't have to, right? But also with the mask itself, I don't know if anybody's ever tried playing with a mask. It's not the most comfortable thing ever. Even when it comes to breathing with it, you know, when you're running up and down, was there anything that you had put a plan out when it comes to changing your game, or maybe, you know, not attacking the hole as much, maybe trying to stay, you know, more of a finesse game on the outside? Was there any type of a game plan that you had for it?
Yeah, my game plan was mostly just to shoot, because when I went out there, my whole idea was if I get hit in the mouth again, like, I'm going to have to do this all over again, and my season is going to end for sure. So going in that game, you know, I was mostly just working on my shots, just shooting threes, and hopefully they go in, and that game they went in. So like I said, after that, I just got a lot of confidence going into the next game, knowing that my shots are still on and that I can still hit, like, a couple shots with this mask on and hand in my face and stuff. So that really helped a lot.
Absolutely, man. 36 points with the mask leading your team to a playoff victory. With the, you know, the circumstances, obviously it was definitely special, because it's not, you know, your typical game. When it comes to, like, your all time, you're only a sophomore, but where does that game rank up amongst, like, your top games ever?
That one's for sure my top five. You know, just coming back from surgery and playing, you know, being on a diet and stuff, like, without people knowing what's going on, like, that was for sure a really special game for me. Knowing I led them to a win, not led them to, but my whole team won that game, that was really special for me. Like, we won that game, and it was at home, so everyone got to witness it. That was just, like, a lot for me.
That's amazing, man. That's amazing. You follow that game with, unfortunately, you know, your season finale, 39 points and a tough loss against Bradshaw Christian. Tough game. You know, you guys were down by 29 late in the third, and you made a third quarter, that is, and you made a great, you know, great run, down by two with, you know, 8 seconds left. You end up getting the ball on the wing. You made a phenomenal read. You know, Daniel got triple teamed, and you kicked it out for, you know, a nice, you know, layup attempt that, you know, unfortunately your teammate wasn't able to complete, but, you know, definitely, you know, got a good shot, which is obviously, you know, all you could ask for. But talk to me about that game. You know, it was a road game, obviously, you know, at Bradshaw. You know, where was your mind at? I actually watched that game personally, and you know, it, you know, I gotta give you props, man. It was really amazing how you literally let the game come to you. You didn't force anything, but being down, you know, almost 30 points, what was going through your head when it comes to, you know, your season possibly ending, and, you know, and you guys being down by that type of deficit?
At that point, going to the half, because that's when we're down, like you said, almost 30 points, I just want to, you know, I was just going to try my hardest to do anything I can to at least bring them close or maybe get a lead. So I literally told my team in the locker room, like we got to try our hardest this whole rest of the game. Like, let's try and, like, go end out with a bang, even if we lose. Like, let's go out, like, and, like, let's go out like we're doing good, you know. So we went out, you know. Everyone was kind of, like, scared going in because they knew they're pretty good. But I think going after halftime, everyone was all pumped up. Everyone was all mad. So everyone started doing their part. And then, like you saw and said, like, we almost came back and won that game. So that was really special.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys, you know, started essentially hitting everything, made that great run. Going into that play, you know, down by 2, 8 seconds left, was that play – what was that play designed to do? Or where were you guys going on that last play?
So at that point, I've hit a lot of threes and a lot of shots. So my coach was like, give the ball to Melo. You know, like, he has a hot hand right now. So let's try to feed him, give him a screen, give him a three. Hopefully he goes in. That was originally a play, but I'm not going to name drop. He didn't do the play right. So when I saw a lane open, I went to the lane and I saw, I'm not going to name drop again, but I saw one of my teammates open. So I was like, hey, like, I'm going to just pass it up. You know, he's wide open. That's a layup. Unfortunately, he missed, but, I mean, everything happens for a reason, you know. So I wasn't mad or anything. I was, like, I was really happy that, like, we came back in that run, and, like, he, like, you know, was like, I don't know. I can't really explain it. I was just really happy, though, how the game ended. I was glad that we almost lost or we almost won that game.
So I went back and I actually watched the recording of that game, you know, and it's, watched the play, how you came from the corner. Like I said, they two clapped on you. A third one came over. So you pretty much got, you know, triple teamed. It was the right play, right? But let me ask you this. And like I said, this is straight talk, man. So we just gonna be transparent. If you had to do it all over again, and like I said, this has nothing to do with the results. If you had to do it all over again, would you have still made that same pass on that play?
Of course, you know, of course, like it's, he's a wide, you know, he was wide open. You know, I'm not going to be selfish and take the last shot. Even if it's not selfish, you know, he's still wide open no matter what. So I'm always going to pass him, like, if he's wide open. Because if I missed it, I didn't want my teammates to think, oh, he's being selfish. You know, he didn't want to pass the ball. Even if I didn't have a hot hand.
No, absolutely. Listen, I agree with you. I just wanted to hear, you know, from you, you know, especially after a play like that, you know, it's like one of those things. Do you regret or, you know, do you have second, you know, do you second guess, you know, your decision? But I thought it was absolutely great play. Like I said, it was a wide open layup, you know, the wide open layup that would have forced overtime. And I can't think of a better shot that your team could have got than that, you know. I was impressed with how you went to, you know, console your teammate literally less than a second after. I mean, obviously just naturally your emotions, you know, you put out, you know, your heart, sweat and tears into this comeback. You know, your natural emotion is, you know, once the shot is missed, to show some frustration. But literally, I'm trying to tell you, if anybody goes back and look at the video, less than a second later, you snap up, you go to console your teammate, make sure, you know, you show him love, make sure he's good. And that shows a lot of character and integrity, man. I'm trying to tell you that to me was just as impressive as your 39 points. And it actually shows, you know, what type of character and integrity that you have as a person. I'm sure it has a lot to do with obviously how you're raised and everything else. So that just, I mean, I know, you know, if that was my son, that'd be something that I'd probably be just as proud, if not more proud of, than anything else. In that situation, man, what I mean, I know it's easier said than done. What made you want to do that, to go and make sure that, you know, your teammate was good and make sure that, you know, what did you say to him when you went up to him?
Well, that's like, he's my best friend. I've known him since fifth grade. So when he missed a shot, you know, I felt like kind of bad, you know, because he knew that game was really important for us, for me and the seniors, because, you know, he knew he wanted us to win. So when he missed it, I went up to him. I was like, hey, it's good, like, don't trip. Like, it's a good shot. Like, I know you missed. Like, it's a good shot, though, you know. And I didn't want to be honest, I didn't want to see him, like, sad after the game. I wanted him, like, be like, it's all right. Like, it's good. Like, we'll be back next year. So that's like, right after he missed, that was kind of my game plan. I wanted to just check out on him, like, tell him it's good. Like, don't worry about this game. Like, there's always next year. Like, don't worry about it.
That's amazing, man. Honestly, that like I said, that shows a lot of, you know, character, integrity, man, and just really the type of, you know, person you are. No, that's amazing. And obviously, you know, a great teammate that you are, and the type of bond that, you know, this team has. Like you said, you guys have, you know, history, you know, with each other. So that's amazing. I wanted to get into that because I know, like I said, you know, between the buzz of you coming out, you know, after that injury, I wanted to, you know, definitely discuss, you know, that run. But let's pivot and let's back up now. So you play at Woodland Christian, a small private school. Talk to me about the small school, small community, you know, obviously playing in Woodland.
You know, it's fun to play in Woodland. You know, I have a great coach, great teammates, great school. I mean, it's literally everything I can ask for to go to that school. So I'm really just thankful for everything at that, for Woodland Christian and my coach and my teammates. That's the reason why I'm here and there. You know, it's a really good, it's not about basketball at that point. It's about family at that team. So that's really why I really enjoy this team and why I enjoy that school. Cause not everyone, it's not like we're just all randoms. Like, we're all like, we all have history each other. Like, we all like each other. We're all like brothers or sisters. You know, it's really fun over there at Woodland Christian.
Have you guys lived in Woodland for some time? Is that where you grew up?
I've been raised in Woodland my whole life.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, you know, that's one thing a lot of people had asked me, is like, man, you know, why did he pick that school? I was like, I don't think he would pick that school. I believe that's where he grew up. You know, yeah. Let me ask you this: growing up, what players, you know, did you look up to? Did you have any specific players, like maybe in town, that you looked up to? You know, growing up?
Not really. Mostly to be honest, my dad, he played college football in for Washington or Washington State. I forgot which one. But he was mostly my idol, you know. He was showing me highlights of him playing back in the day, and I would get inspired. So football was mostly my favorite sport at the time. And then around 2014, 15, I saw Steph Curry, and then ever since that, I just always liked basketball.
So when did you – so you actually played football. At what age did you stop playing football?
I only played football 1 year. That was my eighth grade year. But after that, going to my freshman year, I stopped playing because I wanted to focus on basketball more than anything. You know, basketball, at that point, that's when I started taking it serious in eighth grade. And I was just playing football for fun at that point. But around the age of, like, 9, 10, I really wanted to play football. But my dad, he didn't want to let me because he didn't want me to get hurt or anything. So he made me play basketball. But I thank him for that because that's where I found my love, playing basketball.
When you did play football, what position did you play?
Wide receiver and DB.
Nice. I can definitely see that. Let me ask you this, for the people who hasn't seen you play, whose game do you feel like that you resemble the most when it comes to, like, current players?
No, that's kind of hard because I really don't compare myself to anybody.
Of course.
But if I had to choose somebody, maybe there's this one player in college, he goes to Duke, maybe Jerry McCain. You know, me and him, Jerry McCain, he shoots a lot of mid-range jump shots and he makes a lot of them. And he's not like an athletic person. Like, he just goes out and dunks everything. You know, he gets all his points from just shooting mid-range shots and threes, you know, layup, like, acrobatic layups, like fadeaway jumpers. So that's kind of where I get my game from.
No, that's, yeah, person, absolutely.
That's the person that kind of inspires me right now, honestly. Because
he's a local product too. A local product, yeah. from SAC. I don't think a lot of people realize that. Local product from SAC.
Yeah, he's from SAC.
Strong work ethic. You know, his brother played at Cal State San Marcos with my good friend Greg Milton. Shout out G Milt, who's actually playing overseas in Germany right now. But yeah, man. Named probably one of the, you know, top people out of SAC, you know, playing at Duke. And in fact, he just scored, what, 34 points the other game, man. So he's doing 35. Yeah. Hey man, I don't want to short him a point. 35. There you go. Absolutely, man. Well, yeah. You know what? You know, I just say that just for, you know, for people out there who haven't seen you play, you know, just kind of see, like, whose game you resemble. I could definitely see that. You know, I was trying to think, me personally, on whose game you remind me of. And I really couldn't think of too many myself. I like how you get to your spots. You have a very, you know, cool demeanor out there, and you just get it done, man. I mean, it's pretty impressive. You get it done efficiently as well. So you don't lead the area in scoring and 12th in the state of California if you don't get buckets. So that's definitely a good comparison. Let's pivot and get into training. I know we talked a little bit prior, but I know you work with Mr. GGT himself, Mark Jeffries, good friend of mine. Talk to me about training as a whole, but as well as the impact that he's had specifically in your guys' short time together on your game.
Man, where can I even start? Mark, man, he's helped me so much through my journey. And even though it's only been, like, not even a year with him, he's helped me so much with just mentally wise, you know. He taught me a lot of things mental wise, like meditating and, like, self calming, like being ready before games, you know, dialing in stuff. And when you come work out, train with him, you know, not get on yourself, not get mad at yourself. You know, there's a lot of players I've seen when I train with, when they miss a shot or something, you know, they start cussing themselves out or, like, yelling at themselves. Mark, he teaches how to just be calm and, like, just be positive about the next shot, like, next shot, next shot. So that, he's really helped me like that a lot. And you can even ask him. And then just training-wise, he's taught me a lot of stuff going into my sophomore season. He taught me a lot in that summer. So I prop him for everything. I thank him for everything, just shot-wise, mentally-wise.
I know, like I said, he's worked with a lot of, you know, top players. I mean, I know, you know, I believe you met him at a camp in Woodland, correct? Is that where you met Mark?
Yeah, he had a camp or a training thing at my school for I think 2 days, and he invited me, so I went. And those 2 or 3 days, and after that, I've always started going to him because I knew he was a good trainer, and not just a trainer, just a good person overall.
So, like I said, this is straight talk, man. So this is the type of stuff that I really want to get into because, you know, there's a lot of great, you know, player development specialists out there. You know, Mark's worked with some great ones, which we'll get into a little bit in a few minutes, actually, here. But what are, like, some specifics, though, some specific takeaways that you got from Mark that's really been able to elevate your game? Like you said, you met him this past year. And, you know, you had a great freshman campaign, your freshman year, averaging 21 points a game at the varsity level, which is phenomenal. But, you know, what are your biggest takeaways, do you feel, when it comes from to the basketball standpoint? So I know you talked about the mental side, but what about when it comes to, which is, by the way, just as important, but what are some stuff when it comes to on the court that you took away from Mark?
Quick break here. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we'll get right back to it. Hey, are ants invading your home? Are you seeing roaches outside? Did you bring more than just memories home from that hotel you stayed at during your last vacation? Those pesky little bed bugs attached to everything? Well, I would like to take this moment to introduce you to someone that can help, and that's Ultra Elite Pest Control, locally owned and operated with over 15 years of experience, servicing Sacramento, Elk Grove, Gulf, and surrounding areas with next day appointments readily available. Enjoy $50 off your first initial service. And check this out, 15% off regular services with a 1-year agreement when you mention Straight Talk with Strahan. That's right. Call or text Antonio Torres with Ultra Elite Pest Control at 916-905-3345. Again, that's 916-905-3345. And don't forget to mention Straight Talk with Strahan. Call today.
A lot of footwork. He helped me a lot with my footwork, you know. That helped a lot with just everything, honestly. Shooting-wise, that helped me a lot. And just going to your spots to go shoot, you know, that helped me a lot with everything. Because last year, my freshman year, I can shoot, but I wasn't really too confident about it. So Mark, he, like, this whole, like I said, this whole summer, a lot of our training stuff was just all shots. So after this summer, I was really confident about my shot. So that helped a lot, especially with the footwork. That just, like, made it 10 times better.
You know, it's amazing you say that, because one thing that when I watch your game, like I said, I love it, by the way. I don't feel like there's any wasted dribbles. You know, you get straight to the point, nothing extra. But the footwork, to me, is amazing. But also, when I see you score, I literally see GGT drills. You know, I see, like, literally you're a person that's a product of a training that's really really translates into the game, you know. Would you agree with that? A lot of the drills that he has you do really translates into the game. Good.
Yeah, no, I agree for sure. 100%. All the stuff, like I said, everything he teaches me, I do in game. And it, like I said, it obviously has results for everything.
And, you know, Mark was able to play overseas himself, and he's helped, you know, a plethora of players, including current D1 players, and Myron Amy, who's the leading scorer at San Jose State, Jaden Alexander, who's at Cal State, Bakersfield, just to name a few. And I know, you know, you got to spend some time with them. Anything you were able to take away from them in your time with them?
The work ethic. You know, I didn't really know him going into training with them, but after a couple months with Mark, him telling me stories about them, their work ethic is crazy. You know, he would tell me that MJ would train like 8 times a day in high school. Like crazy intense training, and he always trained no matter what. And the same thing with Jaden, like, they always try and go prove something just by training wise. And it's even like watching them train, like, with them, like, they're going as hard as they can. Like, even if it's like it's a little simple drill, like, they try their hardest, like, it's a real in game, like, thing. So that like really kind of inspires me. Like, they inspire me a lot to train as hard as I can.
So what I'm hearing is no wasted reps, and always every rep is game speed is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, for sure. And was everything like which MJ went through in high school. You know, I heard that he only had, I think, one offer coming out of high school, something like that, or Jaden. I forgot which one it was, but just for them to not be discouraged by it and keep training, knowing that one day it's gonna come, like, that really inspires me a lot.
Yeah, the amazing thing about those two is that they put up just ridiculous numbers. I mean, we were talking about like 25, 26 points a game. Don't quote me on this, but you can look it up. I mean, I'm sure Mark was talking about it. And they don't necessarily, I mean, they pass the eye test. I mean, they're not small guards by any means, you know? And, you know, Jaden's flying out the gym, right? What's his vertical? I have no idea. And so, so it's amazing that these guys, like you said, they didn't really garner too many offers, but they were able to still push through knowing that, you know, both of them, actually, I've been fortunate enough and blessed to have on my pod. So if you guys want to catch up to those episodes, you get to hear their backstory on how they actually got their offers. And it just means, and what I think of with those two is that you got to stay ready. So you don't got to get ready. And you never know, you know, when that offer is going to come or who's watching. You know, that's what really stands out to me when it comes to their stories. But definitely two great individuals for you to learn from, you know, that's for sure. Let's talk about the training that you do. So through a non-season, take me through a typical week schedule for you when it comes to training.
Well, now that I'm with Mark, I usually go a lot of to his trainings at night or in the morning. But if not, I do my own little workouts at home because I have a gym in my house. So like around in the morning, in the summertime, I work out in the morning just to get it over with. Going into like the mid-afternoon, I do just like my own workout. My dad, he does a couple of stuff with me. And then at night, when I'm just relaxing and everything, I go to Mark. And if not, then it's the same thing with Mark. If it's in the morning, it's basically the same thing.
You had a gym at your house? You have a gym at your house?
Yeah, not like a basketball court, but just like a full gym. My dad built a gym back in like 2020. He made a gym for me so I can go work out and stuff.
Man, that's a blessing right there, man. Come on. Hey, props to dad for that one. My goodness. That's a huge blessing, man. So are you training 7 days a week? Are you giving yourself a day off, or what are we talking about?
Well, going to the summertime, even right now, I give myself off, or every Sunday I give my day. That's my day off, just to chill, you know, recover my body so I can like just recover everything. And then after that, I'm just straight at it again. You know, there's like no days off, like everyone says, but I do easily need one rest day, you know, to cover my legs, recover my arms, you know, if I'm tired or, you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. So, what were some of the highlights from this past season, you know, amongst all the success you had personally and as well as a team?
Mostly winning league was my biggest, that was the biggest thing for me. That's the day I came out of the hospital. And that team that we played for the league championship, they were, like, decent enough to beat us. So when I went there, everyone was all hyped and stuff, you know, because that's the first time they saw me out of the hospital. And they were all saying, like, oh, like, we're going to win this for you. Like, this game's for you if we win. So then they went out and won. It was a really close game. If you go look back, it was, I think, 46, 44, 44, 42. It was a really close game, and they won it. So that's my biggest highlight of the year. That game was really special for me.
That's amazing that out of all the highlights that you had, you know, that you picked that one. That once again, it shows type of person you are. Let me ask you this. What specific goals did you have entering the season, both personally and as a team?
Personally, for me, I wanted to make it as far as I can, at least to win sections. If not as a team, we all wanted to win league for sure. That was the one big thing because we're moving to a new league next year. So we wanted to go out and like just prove to all those teams like we're gonna beat y'all again, you know what I mean? So that was a big factor for our team. But for me and a lot of other players, our big like personal goals this year was to win sections. Sadly, no, we couldn't do it, but I mean we came really close to doing, you know, second round playoffs, lost. I mean, can't get any better than that.
Absolutely, man. What aspects of your game are you really, you know, focusing on working on between now and the start of your junior year? To get, you know, to take to the next level, to improve on.
For sure, my IQ, that's a big part of it. And that just comes off like just watching games, you know, watching the NBA, watching college, you know, that's something you just gotta learn your own, like pick up playing basketball too. That's just like you can't teach that. It's something you just gotta do on your own. And then for sure, for going to my next season and stuff, for sure, just keep shooting, you know, I want my shot to be like so good to the point where I can go anywhere on the court and it's like a good shot for me, hopefully. So that's where I'm at right now.
Let me ask you this, from a physical standpoint, I mean, especially with your dad being, you know, such a former athlete, are you looking to get, you know, obviously, are you focused on anything specific when it comes to getting bigger, stronger?
Yeah, for sure. I do want to get bigger, obviously, for next year, you know, like just either like eating, like getting like jumping higher, you know. I can dunk right now, but it's not to where I am right now. So my dad, he does a lot of leg workouts for me and stuff at home, you know, doing plyometrics. That helps a lot. And just getting bigger, like, means like big, stronger wise, like where I can push everybody, use my body better, and not let anyone push me around. You know what I mean?
You know what? Yeah, you know, that's interesting point, because you're not the biggest, you know, player, biggest guard, but you get to your spots. I mean, they don't really knock you off. I think that's a little bit of, you know, of being, you know, savvy with the ball, footwork, and, you know, and like I said, just getting to your spots and raising up, you know. I found that not only was in the few games I was able to watch you play, for a person who the other team knows you're the focal point, you still take great shots. You have great shot selection, and you shoot it at a high percentage. So, no, that's just amazing, man. And the fact that one of your goals is to just continue to become a better shooter, that's kind of scary for everybody else. Because I mean, the percentage you shot, you know, when it comes to the amount of volume you shot, is honestly truly remarkable. I know AAU season starting up right now. Talk to me about your plans for this spring and summer, and what are you looking to get out of it?
Well, my one goal is definitely get at least one scholarship this year, you know, for summer, or to win a big tournament. We're going to a tournament. It's called 3SSB. I do want to win one of those. They're sponsored by Adidas. So if we win that, that's like going to be really big for me. If we win the whole thing and get sponsored by Adidas and stuff, that's going to help us a lot and just help me, like, personally. That's going to bring a lot of attention to not just me, but to Woodland Christian. So that's like a big goal for me to go win that tournament and get sponsored by Adidas.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I know, you know, you'll be playing in SoCal quite a bit, you know, obviously this spring, summer. Talk to me about the teams the team you'll be playing with over the spring, summer, if you've decided already.
Yeah, I'm playing this team called, they're in Roseville. They're called Control Chaos. Shout out to Coach Mel. He helped me a lot with my journey. I've been playing with him for, I think, 2 or 3 years now. He's helped me a lot too. Just playing with him wise, you know, getting my confidence up, just knowing that I can trust him with everything. So I'm going to be playing with them this summer. Hopefully, you know, maybe next year or next year before we can get like in a higher or bigger division. But for right now, we're in a really good division, you know, playing at 3SSB. That's like a big thing to play in.
Absolutely. A team that I was a part of was there last year, and you know, great athletes, you know, great players, great teams, you know, just great competition. And I know, you know, it's going to be the same. It's going to be the same this year. Any specific goals? So I heard the one offer. Have you played on any type of circuit prior to this year?
Not that I can remember, but I did play for this team called West Coast Elite back in eighth grade. We were playing on a lot of, like, just big, big tournaments, playing these, like, big, big, like, teams. Some of the players, you know, we played against, I mean, top teams, top players in the world. Like, I don't know if you know his name. His name's Tyron Stokes. We played him in eighth grade out in Oakland. Like he's, like, a really good player. So, that's just – playing with them, that helped me a lot with everything. So, but hopefully this year, you know, we play, like, the good players too, good teams. I'm pretty sure we are. Well, there's a team. I think there's a team called Compton Magic. That's the team we're playing. There's a lot of good players that we're playing, so it's going to help a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like I said, the 3SB is going to definitely bring out a lot of top players. West Coast Elite obviously is one of the top organizations, so that's pretty awesome that you were able to get some experience with them. That's for sure. Just a few more questions, man, before we wrap up and we end with my rapid fire Q&A that I always end all my episodes with. Talk to me about this, man, because I hear this a lot too, and I'm sure you have too. How do you feel about people possibly overlooking your numbers based on you playing at D5, D6, D5 school,
yeah,
right? Is it D5?
D5. Yeah, D5.
Yeah. Talk to me about, you know, how do you feel? To me, at the end of the day, you can't control who you play. And hey, 30 points a game is 30 points a game. I don't care how you look at it. But does that bother you or motivate you?
It does motivate me some type of way, you know. I still get some kind of hate. I, you know, people come text me like, oh, like, what division are y'all? What league are y'all playing in? Like, who are you guys playing? So I do get some hate here and there, but you know, I just bring that as motivation to prove to them, show them, like no matter where I am, I'm still putting up numbers. I'm still doing what I'm supposed to do. So like I'm still got to make the shot, you know what I mean? So that's one thing I just try to prove to everybody.
Hey, man, men lie, women lie. Numbers dope. You know, 30 is 30, man. That's it's hard to score 30 points a game. Let's be honest, man. That just, and especially at the rate that you've been able to do it. So, no, that's good, man. What are some short term goals you have for yourself? Let's call it the next two. I guess what are some goals you have for the rest of your high school career, the last 2 years?
For sure to win a section. That's like my biggest one. If not that, then state. That's like my two just biggest things I want to do in my high school. You know, I want to experience to go play at the Golden One Arena at the King Stadium, you know, or at a college. You know, that's like just a big dream of mine to go play at. That's just like with my team to go win it, you know, in the locker room, chilling with everybody, with, you know, with the hats and stuff, the banner. That's one thing I do want to experience for sure.
What are some long-term goals for you? Like I said, when it comes to the game of basketball, I always believe, you know, you got to speak life into your goals and speak life, you know, they always say you speak life and death with your tongue. So, you know, and what's really nice too, is in the past I've had some guests come on and, you know, they had mentioned their long-term goals. And then, you know, like for one guy's overseas, got his first professional offer to play overseas, and we brought him back on. So it's pretty cool, you know, going back and you know, listening to what your goals were and then you actually accomplished them. So what are some long-term goals that you have when it comes to this game of basketball and life overall?
You know, for just personal goals, I do really want to make as far as I can, like NBA wise, if not professional overseas, that's for sure just a big goal of mine. And like, just me personally, just keep going as long as I can, you know. Even if I don't make professional or NBA, whatever, I do still want to impact everybody, you know, either become a trainer or just help, you know, everybody else that can has a chance to make it. You know, that's a big goal of mine, even if I don't make it or not. But for me personally, I'm going to try to make it as far as I can and make it to the NBA, you know.
Do you have, like, a dream college that you'd want to play college basketball at?
You know, it's kind of funny. I don't, you know, I just want to get the opportunity to play out of college, like a D1 college. That's kind of where I'm at right now. There's really no colleges that I have, like, favoritism. You know, if I can just go play wherever that's D1, I have an opportunity to make it to the NBA or professional. That's just my dream of mine.
Got it, man. Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and end with some rapid fire Q&A. These are just going to be some random questions. First thing you think of, nothing too deep. So first one is, what's your go-to move?
Hezzy pool.
Right or left? Both?
Right.
Got it. Who's currently your favorite player in NBA, and who's your favorite player of all time?
NBA right now, Steph Curry, all time, Michael Jordan.
Gotcha. Well, I guess I'm pretty sure you're going to answer this next question then. MJ or LBJ? Which one's the GOAT?
Oh, my. MJ, come on now. MJ, come on now.
Not even close?
Not even close.
Joker or Embiid?
Embiid.
Gotcha, man. What's the go-to song right now? What's playing your AirPods, your beats on the way to the gym, on the way to, on game day, or on the way to, you know, training?
It's going to sound crazy, but One in a Million by Aaliyah. That's the go-to song.
Oh, you play some Baby Girl, huh? Old soul. Okay. All right. Hey, that was a nice Timbo beat to that one, too. That's good, man. I would never expected that one, man. What's the best advice you've ever received from your parents?
Never give up. That's just a big one.
Gotcha, man. And the last question I got for you, man, that I ask, you know, a lot of successful individuals like yourself, because I know a lot of people, you know, look up to you. I know you're young, but, you know, a lot of people older and younger actually both look up to you, especially with all the success you've had. What's the number one advice you have for aspiring basketball players?
To just work as hard as you can, you know. Working as hard as you can get you anywhere you want, you know, especially self-talk too, a positive self-talk. If you just tell yourself, I'm going to make it. That's the only advice I can really give out to you. You know, I can't tell you a way to make it or how to do it, you know. My advice is to have self-positive with yourself, or, you know, just work as hard as you can. That's the best way you can do to give yourself a chance in anything in life. Even if it's not sports, you know, just work in a visual. Work as hard as you can.
I like it, man. I like it. Well, listen, man, you know, amazing story, amazing end to your season, despite, like I said, the close loss. I mean, just the fact that you were able to show resilience in coming back after, you know, after that injury, you know, the numbers are just amazing. Like I said, those like 2K numbers you put up this past year. you know, really looking forward to you know, seeing you, you know, go out there and ball out this spring, this summer, into next year. I know Mark and I are always going to keep in contact, so I know he'll, you know, he'll definitely you know, keep documenting, you know, your journey. I just want to thank you for the time, for, you know, being on the pod, man.
You know, thank you. Appreciate it for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
No, you got it. Hey, for the rest of you guys out there that want to continue following Romello, his IG handle is RO3MELLO. Once again, RO3MELLO. You'll follow him on Instagram. I just want to thank you guys for joining me for another episode of Straight Talk with Straight Hand. Continue having a blessed day, guys. God bless.
Thanks for tuning in to another Straight Talk with Straight Hand podcast. And if you haven't done so already, click the subscribe button and make sure to follow him on Instagram at Straight Hand, Strayhand. And we will catch you on the next episode.